On the high calling of a husband, and we considered the command of God for husbands to love their wife as Christ loved the church. And in my understanding of Scripture, this is what lies at the heart of what it means to be a husband. Now, a husband has many other duties and responsibilities outside of that one, such as providing and protecting and leading his wife. However, all other responsibilities are subordinate to this greatest command, that he love his wife sacrificially and selflessly, just as Jesus loved his bride, the church. This morning we want to look at God's word to wives in marriage. And just as with the husband, there are numerous instructions that we can consider. God speaking to wives, such as wives are to be the keeper of the home, the domain, and the sacred duty given them by God and entrusted to their care. They are to be helpers to their husband. They are to be rich in gifts and good works, and to use those talents and abilities that God has given them to enrich their marriage. In the same way, there is a greatest command, I believe, through which all of their other responsibilities pass through, just as it was with the husband. And I believe the greatest command that God gives a wife is that when he says that wives are to be submissive to their husbands. I think all other responsibilities in the marriage by the wife is to be filtered and superintended by this command. And maybe you're wondering, where do you get that idea from? And I simply would say, the Word of God. In every instance where God speaks to wives within the marriage, his words are always the same. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. And speaking indirectly to women just in general, Christian women in general, older women, train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands. I recognize in our culture, where we live, at this point in time in history, I don't know that there is a more unpopular teaching within the entirety of Scripture. But I'm not here to teach what's popular. And I pray to the good Lord that you're not here to hear me tickle your ears with popular teaching. Our goals, I pray, are one and the same, that we hear the truth of God's Word on any given matter. Beloved, this is God's Word on the matter. We can either accept it and live in obedience to it, or we can reject it and live disobediently to God. I have three things I want to talk about this morning. Go figure. It's always three. First of this is this. What does that mean? And that's an important part of the teaching of Scripture to understand, because I think, as we'll see, this is something that's been misunderstood and misused. What does it mean for a wife to be submissive to her husband? Secondly, why is this so unpopular? Why is this so hard? And men and women, we're fooling ourselves if we say it's not. And so I want to examine why it's so hard and so difficult. And then thirdly, and this is going to be what I really want to be the heart of our study, and that is, I want us to see the beauty of a submissive wife. That's really what I want us to focus on. But we need to get through these other two things, because they include aspects from God's Word and instruction from God's Word on the subject as well. So first off, what does it mean for a wife to be submissive to her husband? Let me give a very simple answer and then explain it. My understanding of biblical submission is this. It's a wife's voluntary and joyful submission to her husband's leadership within the marriage. Now in this study, we're going to take for granted the fact that God has appointed the husband to be leader within the family. That's questioned today as well. If you have a question about that, or you're uncertain about that, or want to know the biblical reason for that, about 3 months ago, I preached a sermon called Leadership in the Family and in the Home. You can go and listen to that, where specifically that subject is addressed in greater detail, and some of the passages regarding that are addressed in more detail. But for the purpose of our study this morning, we're simply going to accept the position that the husband is head of his wife, as Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23 states. Now, biblical submission requires both of these elements: voluntary and joyful participation. Husbands, I said this last time, and I'll say it again. It's not your job to make your wife submissive to your leadership. It's your job to love your wife as Christ loved the church. It's not your job to make her submit. The moment you try to force her submission through threats, strength, bullying, abuse, or any other means, you have stepped outside the authority of God's entrustment to you and have sinned against both your wife and against God. Not only that, but you've likely broken trust and destroyed love, which is probably going to do great harm to your marriage. Now, by its very nature, submission is voluntary. If it's forced, it's not submission. It's slavery. Jesus was submissive to the will of the Father in coming into our world, bearing the world's sin, and dying on the cross. But just suppose, for understanding what I'm trying to say, suppose that Jesus refused to do that willingly. And so the Father forced that on him. Ignore the problems that creates with what we understand about the nature of God and the workings of the Godhead. Just ignore that. It's hypothetical. The question is this: if Jesus were forced to come to earth against his will and do everything that he did, was that submission? No, it wouldn't be. Submission is only accomplished through his voluntary willingness to submit to the Father's authority. And in the same way, wives, submission must be voluntary. If you don't choose it, it's not submission, not biblical submission. Now, the second descriptive word is equally important and definitely the more challenging of the two. It's one thing for a wife to submit to her husband's authority. But if you do that while grumbling and complaining and expressing how unhappy you are about having to do that, that is not living out biblical submission. What God wants from us in every command, and not just this, but in every command, is joyful obedience, not mere outward compliance. A person can go through the motions outwardly of doing what God has said, but inside, if they're bitter and resentful and angry, they might fool man into thinking that is obedience as God wants. But God, who sees through the heart, isn't fooled. And sisters, if you outwardly submit to your husbands, but inside you're seething and you're bitter about the way things are, and you're imagining how satisfying it would be to give him a piece of your mind, or maybe you actually do that, it's not submission as we read about it in God's Word. Now, I'm not suggesting you walk away grinning when you think your husband's making a stupid decision. But you know as well as I do that there is a great difference between joy and happiness. Joy is this quiet, settled peace that though you may not like the way the situation is, you're content because you've done what God has commanded you. Now, what does this look like in marriage on an everyday practical level? It means if there is a disagreement between the wife and the husband about the affairs of the family, the wife submits to her husband's leadership. Now, a wise and godly husband is going to ask counsel of his wife. He'll seek the advice that she can give him on issues that involve the family, especially when she possesses a wisdom or an insight that he does not have. He's going to listen to what she said. He's going to genuinely consider that. He's going to weigh it in regard to his responsibility to love and sacrifice himself for her good. He's going to pray about it and seek God's will on the matter. After that, he may be persuaded that she was right and he was wrong. Or he may continue down the path he first intended. And it's in those moments where a different decision is made than what the wife thought should have been made that submission is the hardest. Any wife and any person can joyfully submit whenever the decision that they want is being made. But it's in those moments where the will of the husband and wife can collide and conflict that a wife reveals whether she's truly submissive or not. Obviously, there are parameters to submission in regard to marriage. If a husband is demanding or if he is forbidding something that God would have her do, then she can be disobedient to his authority. Because God's authority supersedes the authority of her husband. In the inspired words of Peter, we ought to obey God rather than man. And I think you can make a biblical argument from the account of Abigail and Nabal for a wife to act in disobedience to her husband's authority if he is acting in some sort of extreme way that's going to bring harm upon his family. Go read that story sometime and watch how she's operating outside of the authority of her husband. But yet the Bible speaks of that in a very positive way. But all other family matters, and this is truthfully, when we get down to it, this is where 99.99% of disagreements occur. A wife is to submit herself to her husband's leadership. The husband's going to answer for how he led, and the wife will answer for how she submitted to her husband's leadership. Again, biblical submission is a wife's voluntary and joyful submission to her husband's leadership within marriage. Why in the world is this so hard? It needs to be recognized by both men and women, husbands and wives, that for many wives this is a very difficult command to obey. I understand this isn't every wife. There are some women who possess a quiet, more natural quiet and gentle disposition, and so they find this very easy to do, or somewhat easier to do perhaps would be the better way to say it. But many don't. There's something that, this is something that I would say to young women who are unmarried. You should take this into consideration before you get married. Ask yourself, am I going to be willing or am I going to be able to submit myself to this man's leadership within the family? And if the answer is no, or that's going to be very, very hard, you might want to reconsider marrying this person. Now, while the difficulty of any given command does not release us from that duty, understanding why it is this is such a struggle perhaps relieves some of the burden and some of the difficulty that it is in obeying this command, and it's worth, therefore, our consideration. One of the reasons that submission is hard to understand is because of the influence of the culture that we live in. It's undeniable that for thousands upon thousands of years, women have been abused, oppressed, mistreated by men simply because they were the weaker sex physically. And as people who are to do justice and to love mercy, we should speak out anytime we see that injustice occurring. And God forbid that it happen within our own home. Part of that involves owning the reality that this has happened and this has been the way things were. And part of it is corrected by bringing our life and our family into accordance with what God's Word teaches on the matter to our sons and daughters and then living it out. However, society's response to the evils of the past hasn't been to find the middle ground where we capture the benefit of the distinctions between men and women, where we bring both the strengths of men and women, males and females, to the forefront. Rather, it's been to overcompensate from the mistakes of the past and to swing to the complete opposite side of the pendulum and attempt to then blur away any distinctions that there may be between men and women. And because of that, the role of the husband and wife and the mother and the father has been blended together so that today there isn't to be any difference between the two. And when all you hear is about how being a wife is old-fashioned and oppressive, and when you hear about how being a submissive wife is misogynistic and it's akin to slavery, that kind of thinking then begins to shape the way that you think about things, even if God's Word says something. The way we fight back to that truth is by allowing God's Word and its truth to shape our opinions and our views about life, rather than the culture that we live in. But culture definitely makes this much harder in the culture in which we live. Secondly, a misunderstanding of what submission is makes it hard to understand within marriage. And because it's misunderstood, it actually makes things harder than it should be. And we can add this to the fact that this is why culture overcompensates and how it responds to these ideas and how it reacts to these ideas. And while it's important to know what submission in marriage is, it's probably equally important to know what it's not. A submissive wife does not possess inferior worth to her husband. They're both made in the image of God. A submissive wife does not inherently have inferior talent, skill, intelligence, or ability to her husband. The reality is she may be smarter. She may be more skilled. She may be more able. A submissive wife does not blindly follow her husband's leadership. It's said about the Proverbs 31 woman that she does him good and not harm all of his days. And through her efforts, her husband is known in the gates and sits among the elders of the land. She'll give him counsel and help him in areas where her expertise exceeds his. Her submission is voluntary when his decisions differ from hers. And being a submissive wife does not mean a woman's incapable of taking care of herself. and that she has to have a man to take care of her. That's not what it means. She has agreed to enter into this marriage as has he. A husband and wife are one flesh, and they are codependent on one another. Being a submissive wife doesn't mean you don't have your own life. And so people impose a lot of these false ideas about what God means when he says wives are to be submissive to their husbands, and then they make that already difficult command much harder by misunderstanding and appropriating ideas that God does not set forth in Scripture. And so that complicates things. Further, it's complicated because submission, or rather because many husbands have abused their God-given authority within the home and within the family, within the marriage. If you've grown up in a home where your father abused his authority to his children and to his wife, or if you're married to a man who abuses his authority as a husband, it creates a resentment and a bitterness toward the whole idea of submission. What has to be said at this point is the same thing that were said to husbands whenever we talked about them. Wives, God's command to you is not contingent on whether your husband deserves your respect and whether he treats you in a manner that makes reciprocation easy. And that's another thing that just makes submission so hard. When the husband doesn't love his wife as he should, when he doesn't deserve his leadership to be respected and honored, that's when you find out if you're going to obey God or not. Now, if all you're hearing me say is that women have to stay in an abusive home where their husbands are beating them up, you're not hearing what I'm saying. What I'm saying is husbands are often undeserving of the respect and submission that God commands wives to have. If every husband acted as God told him, there probably would be very little trouble with submission, but they don't. And a sinful abuse of authority has created submission, made it much harder than it otherwise would have been. And then lastly, sisters, understand this. Resistance is written in the DNA of the flesh. Because Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, that led to sin entering into the world. And there's been a power struggle between husband and wife ever since. To just make a long story short, the curse of sin struck husbands and wives in their God-designed responsibilities. Go back and look at the curse and how it applies to each husband and wife specifically and their responsibilities before the Lord. And to the woman, God said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." Part of God's purpose for women and intent for women was to bear children. And sin made what would have been an otherwise pleasant experience one of the most agonizing experiences on the face of the earth. But it's also corrupted God's design that the wife joyfully submit to her husband's authority, so that rather than her being able to do that gladly, your desire is going to be contrary to his. This is part of the curse. And just as Eve stepped into the position of leadership that God gave Adam and ate from the tree, she then corrupted the wife's submission in marriage so that what was natural and intended has now become a burden and a struggle. And so sisters, understand, if this is hard for you, this is part of the reason why. It's written on the very DNA of your flesh, the old man, the old woman. And it has to be brought up to the obedience of God's command. It's all the result of the corrupting influence of sin and the curse and all that is brought on the world. So if you're a woman and some of these things are hard for you to hear, I hope looking at these things will help you understand this is why this is hard. Because of our culture and as we allow it to influence our way of thinking, because of the misunderstanding about what submission really is, because men have sinfully abused that authority God has given to them, and because it's written on the DNA of who we are, this resistance and rebellion, it complicates and makes this hard for so many. Now we've arrived at the point that I want to really emphasize. A submissive wife is not an oppressed woman. She's not an inferior woman. She's not a weak woman. In fact, she's the very opposite. She's a strong woman. She possesses a strength of character that most don't possess, because she subjects the desires of her body and the desires of her flesh and brings them in obedience to God. And the portrait I really want to paint for you, church, is the beauty of a submissive wife. It needs to be clearly taught and understood that a wife's submission in marriage is good and beautiful. The reason is because everything that God makes is good and beautiful. And there are no exceptions at all. When each member of the family acts in the way that God has commanded, the result is always good. It's good when a husband loves his wife, as Christ loved the church, isn't it? It's good when children obey their parents because that's God's intention for them, right? And it's good when a wife submits to her husband. But what I want us all to see, beloved, especially my sisters who are married, is that biblical submission is good and it's beautiful because it proceeds from a God who is good and beautiful. And if it's any way ugly and unappealing, it's because we messed it up. It's because sin has messed it up. But when we understand and embrace what God has said, we'll cultivate it, we'll model it, we'll promote it in our homes, in the church, and in the world. And so more quickly than I would like, let me just give you six reasons that submission in marriage is beautiful. Firstly, a submissive wife finds solidarity with Jesus. We talked about last week how suffering for the sake of the gospel was a beautiful thing. And that's why the Bible tells you if you're persecuted for the name of Christ, you're blessed. Part of the reason that is because you're able to share in the solidarity of Jesus' sufferings. In the same way, wives who embrace submission in their marriage, they find a solidarity with Jesus who modeled and embraced submission as well. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, we see that Jesus went down with his parents and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Now, this observation is made by Luke as he concludes an event involving Jesus and his parents at around the age of 12. You know the account well. Jesus was taken by Joseph and Mary to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And after they're done celebrating, Mary and Joseph return home. Jesus remains at the temple. Mary and Joseph look for him. 3 days they're without him. They finally go back to Jerusalem and they get there and he's there in the temple. And Mary chides him for his behavior. To which Jesus replies, "Did you not know I must be in my Father's house?" Now, it's at this point that Luke tells us that Jesus then went back to Nazareth and submitted himself to his parents. Jesus was well within his rights, his authority as to who he was, to have replied in any number of ways to Mary. Yet what he did was he subjugated his will and he submitted himself voluntarily to a sinful man and sinful woman to whom God had entrusted his care on this earth. And there are many other examples where Jesus demonstrates this same spirit of submission, but the greatest demonstration is the Garden of Gethsemane, where the cross is approaching and sin is closing in and death has its maw open ready to consume him. And Jesus is praying. And as he's there praying, he says, "Father, if there's any other way, if humanity can be saved in any other way than through the cross, please, let's do it that way. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus knows about submission. And a wife who embraces submission within her marriage finds a unique solidarity and connection with Jesus, who similarly embraced submission in his time on earth. Secondly, a submissive wife meets her husband's greatest need. Wives, contrary to popular belief, the most important person in your life is not your children. It's your husband. And the same goes for husbands to wives. Husbands, the most important person in your life is not your children. It is your wife. Your children may have come from your flesh, but you aren't one flesh with them. Marriage is unique in that it's the one flesh relationship, and it supersedes all others with the exception of our relationship to God. And it should be the goal of both the godly wife and the godly husband to do everything within their power to meet the greatest needs of the one with whom they are one flesh. Now, to my point, I mentioned earlier that in just about every instance where God gives instruction to husbands and wives as to how they're to treat people, he gives the same command. When he speaks to husbands, he says, "Husbands, love your wife." And when he speaks to wives, he says, "Wives, submit to your husbands." The reason that God gives those instructions repeatedly to both husbands and wives is because he's calling each one to meet the other's greatest need. God made women, and he knows that what they need most in the marriage relationship is to know that they are loved. Husbands, do you ever seriously wonder and fret over whether your wife really loves you? Most likely not. There was a husband and wife who went to counseling, and the wife was complaining to her counselor that her husband never told her that he loved her. And the counselor looked at her husband and said, "Sir, why do you never tell your wife that you love her?" And the husband answered, "She knows the answer to that question. I told her at the altar, and I told her I'd let her know if I ever changed my mind." And, you know, that may be slightly humorous, or maybe not. But it well encapsulates, doesn't it, how men feel about needing to hear or to know that they are loved by their wives in that relationship. Husbands normally don't sit around wondering, does my wife love me? But that's something many wives do. They wonder, does my husband really love me? And it's not that they don't logically know that. They logically know that. But oftentimes there's this disconnect between what you know logically and what you believe to be true emotionally. And that's why they need this frequent affirmation, both in word and deed. Husbands, love your wives. And that's why God tells them that. That's her greatest need in the marriage. To that end, God also made men. And he understands their greatest need within the marriage. And that is to be respected in their home, within their family. And so he commands, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Sisters, I'm going to tell you something that you may know or may not know at all. If you don't respect and honor your husband, I don't care how successful he is. I don't care how big of a house he has built or bought. I don't care how much money he makes. I don't care what people out in the world think of him. I don't care how successful and powerful he may be out there. If you don't love and respect him, if you don't respect and honor him within the marriage, doesn't matter everything else aside how successful he is, he will feel that big. Conversely, he may be down on his luck, and he may not be providing just real well, and he may be struggling and failing out in the world, but if you will respect and honor him within the confines of your marriage and relationship of your marriage, he will be confident, he'll believe in himself, and he will eventually land on his feet. But if you verbally beat him up and run him down and complain about him and compare him to other men you wish he would be more like, and if rather respecting him, you disrespect him and dishonor him, you make him feel worthless as a husband, as a father, and as a man. And it very well may be that he becomes worthless as a husband and a father and a man. You remember our study from a couple of weeks ago, what Solomon said? Life and death from the power of the tongue. Wives, if your husband was solely shaped by your words, what kind of man would he be? If through your negativity and complaining and dishonoring your husband, he doesn't become small, it's only by the sustaining grace of God who keeps him from that mistreatment. And understand, sisters, please, this is not about deserving respect. This is not about him deserving respect. That's what the unbelieving, ungodly women of the world say. I'll give him some respect when he earns it. You can't play that game. You're not of the world. You're called by God to love the unlovable, to live out the gospel towards your husband. And the message of the gospel is that there's grace and love and respect for the unlovable and the undeserving, whether they're out in the world or whether they're in your own home. Sisters, a submissive, respectful, and honoring wife will meet her husband's greatest need. When that happens, that's a beautiful thing. Thirdly, a submitting wife is a powerful expression of faith. What do I mean by that? Well, just think about what you're hearing and think about what God has said and then compare it to what's being said out in the world in regard to this relationship of husbands and wives. The world looks down on a submissive wife and scorns a woman who's chose to stay at home. They look down on her. They insult and degrade her. They laugh at her. And they hate her. Worldly wisdom says a wife should have the same authority in the home as her husband. And worldly wisdom says that God's expectation for a wife to submit is demeaning. And that's why submitting a wife is such a powerful expression of faith. Because there's a sense in which some of these things, humanly speaking, may make sense to us. But when you stand against culture, and when you stand against popular opinion and against worldly wisdom and says, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to trust what God has said and do that instead. That's a powerful expression of faith. And that's the problem with our culture, is we have a tendency to define someone's importance based off of stupid things, like how much money they make or how much power they have or how big of a house they can afford or how nice of a car that they can drive. And when you judge success and value and purpose by looking at those things, rather than what God says is beautiful and significant and meaningful, then you might look at a woman who stays at home and raises children and say, what a waste of time. What a waste of energy. But we buy into that. When we value careers and power and paycheck, and we look at a woman who submits to her husband's leadership and we say, well, she's getting ripped off. It's a powerful expression of faith to listen to what God has said and then to live in accordance with what God has said. And said, I hear what you're saying, world, but I'm going to trust God and I'm going to trust His word. The world says submission to motherhood is not the best way for women, but faith trusts the wisdom of God over the wisdom of man. And when you trust God and His word in the face of human wisdom that opposes that, that's a beautiful thing. Submissive wife is the most effective means to save an unbelieving husband. Go with me real quickly to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Any wives here who would think to themselves, there are some positive changes that need to be made in my husband's life? Nobody raise your hand, please. I don't want to embarrass your husband. I don't want to embarrass you. I think it's safe to assume that that's the case for all of us. Every wife here can say, I could think of a thing or two that might enrich his life. Wives, what's the most effective way to bring about this sort of positive change? Here's a couple of common methods. One is to reason with him. To sit down and to show him all of the things that you're going to logically show him and convince him. If you do this, this will enhance your life. Make you a better person. Another way is to wear down his endurance. Complain and fuss about the things that you don't like until he changes because he's tired of hearing about them. Now, I'm not saying a conversation doesn't need to be had about how a person can improve and grow as a person, be they husband or wife. But listen to the inspired advice that Peter gives wives in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Likewise, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. And maybe you wonder, why don't I mention here's the gospel? Wouldn't it be better to open God's word and to say, this is what God's word has said, and to just allow God's word to speak to him? Use the gospel, use the word of God. You've often heard it said that a picture is worth a thousand words. And there's a mention of the gospel here. See, what Peter is calling on wives to do is not speak the gospel to their husbands, although there's a time and place for that, I agree, but to live out the gospel before their husbands. That is how God says you deal with a husband who is either not a Christian or who needs to grow up in Christ. It's not by lecturing, it's not by nagging, it's by living out godliness in your life so that he will come to a point of faith after he sees that living faith within you. A submitting wife is an expression of lasting spiritual beauty. Looking at verses 3 through 6. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So what he's talking about there is don't give your attention to that which is outward. Rather, give your attention to that which is inward. And he describes her a gentle and quiet spirit. I think what he's talking about is submission. Because he goes on in verses 5 and 6 to make a reference to the women of old who pleased the Lord by their submission to their husbands. If that sounds degrading, then just listen to and believe what God says about that. Man may say how awful. But God says, this is precious. This is precious. And a submissive wife is expressing an unfading spiritual beauty that catches the eye of her Creator. And then lastly, a submissive wife pleases the Lord. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Listen, the world may look down on you and scorn you. It may call you names and insinuate all terrible things about you, and it may have no appreciation for your humble posture within your marriage. God is pleased. God is pleased. Is that not enough for someone who loves the Lord to do whatever it is that He's called them to do, no matter how hard? To know, though your husband may not appreciate it, though the world may not appreciate it, though nobody else appreciates it, when you do what God has called you to do, you're pleasing Him. That should be reason enough for any of us to do any hard thing that God calls us to do. The Christian life is a life of submission. We all, men and women, submit to Christ as our head. We're commanded to submit to one another. In Ephesians 5:21, to value and prioritize the needs of each other over our own. We're to be submissive to our government, as long as our government doesn't force us to be disobedient to God's word. Christians are to submit themselves to the leaders of a local church. and wives are to be submissive to their husbands. And despite how the world may view it, it's a beautiful thing because it's that which God has commanded. So I pray for all of my sisters here that God will help you to see the beauty and to embrace the beauty of living out the role that He has called you to within your marriage. If you're here and you're not a Christian, it's all because of submission, that the submission of the Son of God that we have to make changes in our life that will result with our salvation and the forgiveness of our sin. So maybe you just need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, who submitted Himself, that says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll set you free." If we can help you in any way this morning, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation number 466?